Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
These are stumbling stones.
They're 4x4 inch brass plaques set in sidewalks, up next to buildings, throughout those parts of Europe that were occupied by Germany during Hitler's regime. Each plaque commemorates and honors the life of one Jew who was killed at the hands of the Nazis. The artist who conceptualized this, his initial idea was to put each one in the middle of the sidewalk, in front of the home address or the last known home address of each individual, in the middle of the sidewalk, just a little bit above grade, so many people every day for many years would have to trip over that atrocity. So we wouldn't forget. To understand our history, especially the tragic parts, we must stumble over it. We must stumble over its immensity and its pain and its lasting impact. And the more people who stumble, who struggle with it, the better we understand, so we can do better next time. There are thousands of these throughout Europe, more of them being installed as time goes on. Bo, if you could help us with the slide. And while he's doing that, I'll continue. Encountering these in Europe got me wondering if we can really fully understand anything without stumbling over it, without struggling with it. Now, for instance, with math. Thank you, Bo. When we're taught math as kids, at least when I went to school, you had to show your work, right? Do they still require that? Any teachers? Do kids still have to show their work? I'm getting the thumbs up. I'm glad to hear it. Because just getting the right answer isn't understanding. You have to struggle with the concept. You have to struggle with the process of arriving at the right answer to really, truly understand math. And the same is true with language and reading, right? We don't just ask kids to memorize every word in the English language, which would probably be impossible. But no, we start with, this is the alphabet, these are the letters, these are the sounds they make, this is how letters work together to form words, these are what words mean. And we ask kids to struggle to understand the complexity of a language and its subtleties so that when they encounter a new word, they can sound it out because they understand. The same is true with the spiritual path, right? It's called spiritual practice for a reason, because we never fully arrive at the full, complete understanding. There's always more to learn and understand about spiritual living and how it improves our life, right? Well, the same is true for our faith. The day after I returned home from Europe, where I encountered those stumbling stones, just by chance, truly, I was not looking for this, I picked up the Essential Kabbalah to this. Stumbling. Whoever delves into mysticism cannot help but stumble. As it is written, this stumbling block is in your hand. You cannot grasp these things unless you stumble over them. That phrase, the stumbling block is in your hand, comes from the book of Isaiah in the Hebrew Bible. And the Kabbalist who wrote that passage entitled Stumbling was inspired or given a new interpretation to something that's found in the Babylonian Talmud that says, again, starting with Isaiah, the stumbling block is in your hand. One does not understand words of Torah unless one has stumbled over them. It turns out that was the inspiration for the Jewish artist who came up with the idea of stumbling stones. To truly understand, we must stumble and fall and get up again. To understand the divine, to understand it completely, we must struggle with the meaning of it. I'm not saying we have to struggle every day, God, no. Okay. We can go long periods thinking we understand and definitely having some understanding, and then something happens that knocks our faith and we stumble again. Which is why we need doubt. Doubt is our stumbling stone on the way to a greater understanding and a greater faith. Rumi wrote the following about fear and hope, or you could think of it as doubt and faith. Show me fear without hope, I said, or hope without fear, for these two are inseparable. Since you ask, I'll give you an example. When someone plants wheat, he of course hopes that it will grow. At the same time, however, he is fearful that some blight or disaster may befall it. It is obvious that there is no such thing as hope without fear. Neither fear without hope nor hope without fear can be imagined. And that's our subject today. Fear and doubt, and how the two are absolutely inseparable. And first, I want to say that when you experience doubt, we don't need to be afraid of it. It's a very natural thing. Even the great mystics and spiritual teachers throughout time have experienced doubt. Even Jesus experienced doubt. Shortly before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane, 3 times, he fell to the ground and begged, "Let this cup pass from me." He was experiencing doubt in his own ability to live out his life's purpose. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Doubting God's love for him. Each time, though, he experienced doubt, he returned to faith and said, "Let it be done." He had faith that he was able because God was within him, and he had faith in God's love. So we don't need to worry that doubt is some aberration. It's quite natural. Doubt is also necessary. Hermann Hesse wrote, "Fear or faith and doubt go hand in hand. They are complementaries. One who never doubts will never truly understand." And from Thomas Merton, "You cannot be a person of faith unless you know how to doubt." So why is doubt necessary for our faith? Doubt is necessary because it's an invitation. It's an invitation to explore, to ask the hard questions, to learn and grow. As Peter Abelard put it, the beginning of wisdom is found in doubting. By doubting, we come to question, and by seeking, we may come upon the truth. Our faith is an evolution. Our faith is always on an upward spiral. Just like we exercise the muscle to make it stronger, we exercise and increase the strength of our faith every time we stumble and fall and doubt and learn and get up again with even deeper faith. Some faith traditions teach that you should never have doubt in God or in what they tell you, right? That doubt is somehow a betrayal of God. But I want to tell you today that doubt is not a betrayal. It's actually quite the opposite. Doubt is a form of faith because it's a way of honoring the divine. Because we doubt because we want to believe. We doubt because we want to have faith. Our doubt is the soul's longing for a deeper understanding of the divine and of life itself. Reverend Nadia Boz Weber, a Lutheran pastor out of Denver, and before I read this passage from her, just know that Nadia is in touch with how most of us use language. If you've read Nadia, you know exactly what I'm getting at. So, Reverend Nadia says, I'm not sure at what point it was decided that having faith looks like an unwavering and changeless belief in God, no matter what kind of shitstorm we are in the midst of. I'm also not sure we were created to be quite that boring. I've mentioned it before, but the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is certainty. Once we know everything, we stop actively being engaged in the questions. Right? The opposite of faith is certainty, not doubt. We need to explore our questions. We need to stumble with the mystery of it all and struggle with the immensity of it all. And so how can we stumble our way back to faith when we have doubt? Well, we can start right there with the questions, right? So what exactly am I doubting? Why am I doubting? Am I doubting my ability? Am I doubting my expression of the divine in the world? Am I doubting the goodness of humanity? Am I doubting that there is even goodness in the world? Am I even doubting that God or love, intelligence even exist in the world, in the universe? Have I fallen back into that old idea of separation, that God means something thing out there that's dictating my life and judging me every time I turn around, right? So we could start with those questions and be gentle with ourselves. And then start where you're at. What do you believe in? Do you believe in science, in nature, in creativity, music, relationships? I know there's something. There's always something we believe in. Even if we can't label it God or spirit or life, there's something we believe in. We can start there and let it grow. If you are new to faith and this whole idea of a spiritual faith, you can start with something you do believe in and let it grow. You know, I believe in this. This is good. This is beautiful. So there is some goodness in the world. Maybe if there's goodness here, maybe I can choose to see some goodness over here. And then maybe we get back to the point of remembering that, well, really, it's all God. So that scientific law that I believe in is also spirit at work in the world. That creativity I believe in, that person I believe in, is spirit at work in the world. And related to this is ask, who do I believe in? What I mean by this is, when we are experiencing doubt, we can ask ourselves, is there somebody who I know has faith? Somebody I know and trust, and I can have faith in their faith. I can have their faith in God. I can have their faith in me, even when I'm not feeling it. I can have their faith in the goodness of humanity. I can borrow that faith until I get my own back. I can have faith in that person because I know that person and I trust them. That will help. It's helped me many times. Next, what inspires you? What do you find inspiring? Is it music? Listen to that. Is it scriptures of any faith tradition? Because we are interfaith around here. It could be the Gospels, it could be the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, Buddhist text. Whatever feels inspiring, re-engage with that. Was there a book that inspired you at some point when you remember you had faith? Reread the book. For me, my two go-tos that I have reread many times are This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes and Proof of Heaven by Dr. Eben Alexander. And the importance or the gift in doing this, engaging with things that inspire us, is when we do it again and again and again, every time we get a little more understanding. Each time I read those books, I find just what I need in that moment that I swear was not there before, but it's there now. So it helps us deepen our faith. New insights, new understandings. And when you're in doubt, remember your old faith, your previous faith. Remember, you know what? I'm not feeling it now, but I remember when I did. I remember when I felt it in my bones, that oneness. I remember those prayers made manifest. I remember when I felt peace in the midst of some trauma or challenging situation. I remember when I experienced grace from the kindness of other people. And the beauty of doing this, of remembering or in a way borrowing our old faith, is we get a deeper appreciation for it and we have an even deeper gratitude for all of it. And we can spend time in spaces with people who support us and believe in us as we stumble and fall and get up. Places like this, spiritual community, classes, workshops, family, friends, those people you trust the most in your life, who will hold you and support you and have faith that you will again have faith or build it or renew it or make it even stronger. Because they've probably been through it themselves, right? And one of my favorites, fake it till you make it. Okay? I'm not talking about spiritual bypass. Spiritual bypass is ignoring the doubt, denying that it exists, pretending like it doesn't exist, sweeping it under the rug. That's not going to work. The faith will just get stronger. We get a feeling of emptiness. We might become apathetic, sadness, all those things. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fake it till you make it because I'm going to recommit to my spiritual practice, even though I don't believe in this moment that it does me any good. All right? Fake it till you make it means I'm going to keep meditating for 10 minutes every morning, even if 8 of those 10 minutes is spent on the to-do list, even if 8 of those 10 minutes is spent in my list of grievances with the world, even if 8 of those 10 minutes is spent planning my next vacation, because even if it's only 2 minutes or 1 minute or 30 seconds of, I think I felt it. So I'm going to sit again tomorrow because because I think it's there. This is fake it till you make it. Holding a place for it with commitment. The same way with prayer. I'm going to pray every day, even though in this moment I'm not really sure it does me any good. But I'm going to do it anyways, because I know it has in the past. And as Ernest Holmes says, just keep right on knocking at the doorway of your consciousness until every no becomes a yes, every negation an affirmation, every fear a faith. So fake it till you make it, because you will make it. And when you come out of the other side of it, you're going to be even stronger in your faith. I have done this so many times that I no longer even get worried when I have moments of doubt. It doesn't always feel good, but I don't worry about it, because every time I go through a cycle of faith, my faith is stronger than it was before. Again, Reverend Nadia Bowes Weber. So if you feel a distance right now when it comes to God, it might be that the distance you feel isn't between you and God. It's between you and the ideas you have had of God up until this moment. And that's different and more interesting and actually hopeful. Because sometimes growing in faith looks like reconsidering all of it. Our old ideas that might have worked for us in the past sometimes need an update. And that too is a form of faith. So the next time you experience doubt, don't worry. Celebrate it. Invite it in. Say, hello, friend. What are you here to teach me today? Because you're on the cusp of a spiritual growth spurt. And that's a very, very good thing. You will have a deeper understanding of the thing itself, because you let yourself doubt. Let's pray. I invite our practitioner prayer partners to stand with me. God is. It is. The thing itself is. Love, intelligence, simply is. It is the known and the unknown. It is the seen and the unseen. It is the things understood and the things not understood. There is always more of it. And I'm grateful that we are of it, that we come from it, that we express it, that it has chosen to live itself through us, that it has chosen to learn more about itself through our growth. And I'm grateful that every single person is able, always able, to learn more. I'm grateful for the doubt that encourages us to know more, to deepen. Faith and doubt, inseparable, and what a beautiful thing it is. So in gratitude for all of this, that we are continually on an upward spiral in faith, I simply release this with faith to that creative alchemy that says, yes, my child, grow, learn. And I know it is done. I know it is done in the mind and heart of the one, and therefore it is done in my heart and mind, and it is therefore done in the mind and heart of every person who hears my voice. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.